last week, somebody said something, and I asked them, can I borrow that for Sunday? And she's not here today, but she said, there is nothing stingy about our God. And I thought, wow, that's a really good statement, isn't it? We've been looking at the family values of overflow. Those values are the things that are important to us, that we believe in, that guide us. And I was thinking about our church has had a couple of funerals already this year, and I myself have been involved in three others. That's five, and it's the 1st of March. And the wonderful thing about funerals is that we speak about the things we remember about the people that have passed, that have gone on to be with Jesus. And if some of those family values that we're studying this term are said about me at my funeral, I would be very honoured. I would think, well, life has been good. If some of those things that are valuable to overflow were also said about me. This week we are looking at generosity and inclusion. And if you've got your little magnet, it actually says stewarding our resources to bless and connect others. So I thought, first of all, just look at those two terms, generosity. Generosity is the voluntary, important word, act of giving, time, resources or kindness freely and abundantly without expecting anything in return. And the inclusion is it ensuring everyone feels free, welcome, supported, valued and able to participate. That's the values of overflow. Stewarding our resources to bless and connect others. I looked at that word stewarding. That's such a word we just hear in Christian circles, isn't it? And I thought, what does that really mean? But it's managing or allocating efficiently or looking after. So we're looking after and stewarding our generosity and our inclusion just so that we can bless other people. There are just so many examples in the Bible of generosity and inclusion. I don't know where to start. Actually, if you had to describe the Bible, that's what you would say. And I was praying about, well, which one of those thousands of verses could I choose to be giving some importance to generosity and inclusion? And this is the one I've come up with. And I'm going to include some of my favourite people. One is missing. Shannon and Keturah, can you come down?
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever.
There's a second part to that and a third. The second says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession. The confession of the gospel of Christ and your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Usually when we're talking about generosity, we often think about money. And one of the parts of that verse that we just read says that each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in the Greek, which it was written in, means, well, the actual word for it is hilaros, which is where our word hilarious comes from. So each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a hilarious giver. Yeah, and the meaning of hilaros means joy and delight. Joy and delight. That's God's nature, isn't it? It should never be under compulsion. And cheerful would mean not under compulsion. I have a story. I have the permission of the recipient to give this testimony. I haven't asked for permission of the giver, but I'm sure they would be fine with it. Because this verse here, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your right hand know your left hand know what your right hand is doing, would apply to that person. A few weeks ago, we had a new person come to our church, and that new person had some troubles in life. And so we encouraged that new person to come for prayer. And at the end of the day, I gave that new person a lift home, and a very generous person in our church had given me an envelope to give to that person. And so in the car, I gave that envelope to the new person and they were dumbfounded. They're normally a person who speaks a lot, who talks a lot, and they just had nothing to say. And they said, "I am so overwhelmed by that generosity." And it's true. We are a church. Overflow is a church of generosity. Talking about money, with money, our desires, as Brad just mentioned, they never end. We want bigger things. We want better things. We want new things. And all those things give us small joy. So if anyone would like to buy me generously, buy me the latest upgrade on an iPhone, thank you. I would have such joy from that, but it will be a small joy. My greater joy actually comes from spending time with the people that are important, which is you guys. That's where the greater joy comes. And my greatest joy comes from spending time with God and knowing how loved that I am. And if we're not hemmed in by fear or by lack or by fixed mindsets that come from negative experiences or our family of origin or the culture that we live in, if we're not hemmed in by those things, then God releases our hearts to experience joy beyond ourselves. God doesn't want your money, He wants your heart. He wants you to rely on Him, and He has greater treasure than you could fit in your wallet. And if money holds a certain power over us, then the act of generosity releases that power back to God. Generosity is also God's nature. We can only be generous because God is generous. How generous is God? For God so loved the world that He... Wow. Yeah. For all of you in the room who are parents or of children, or parents of fur babies even, how hard would it be to give your child for someone or for something, even that you believed in really strongly? I don't know that I could do it, but God did, and He did it for us. Why? Why did He do that for us? He wanted to include us in His family. He just wanted relationship with us. I love, of all the four Gospels, the Gospel of Luke is my favourite because Luke was a physician, so quite honoured and esteemed in the time, didn't hang out with those smelly fishermen, culturally didn't hang out with those smelly fishermen, but he has this heart for including people. And the stories I'm reminded of in Luke is the widow who just gave as her offering all that she had, two tiny little coins, which look rather meagre to people watching, but it was everything. She gave everything. And there's also the story of the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip met on the side of the road. Very culturally, very different. Gender-based, very different. But none of that was important. What was important is that he wanted to share the word of God. And Philip took him and baptized him before discovering who he really was. There's a story of the Good Samaritan who took another fella on the side of the road who was injured, put him in a hotel and paid for his time and food there while he recovered. It's pretty generous, didn't know him. And all through the Gospel of Luke, he talks about including the outcasts and the lepers and the sinners and all those people that were the fringe dwellers. That's why this is probably my favourite. On the other side, Jesus' generosity, we've looked at God, so let's look at Jesus. Though he was rich, he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He could have stayed there in heaven in his nice comfy place. Yet for your sake and mine, he became poor, that through his poverty you may become rich. One of the most generous things that Jesus did for us was forgiveness. That while we were still sinners, not because we were good, but while we were still sinners, he died for us. So remember that we serve a generous God, and he's generous not as a reward that we've earned, but because he wants us to belong or to be included. I just want to talk about the cross for a moment longer. The cross has two parts to it. It has this part up and down and this part across, two bits of wood, okay, nailed together. And we're going to talk about the two parts separately. This part here, this is our generosity to each other. And this part here, this is our generosity to God. So this is the cross. So the first part we're going to look at is this part here. So I've only got one arm now. Okay, being generous with each other. Most of you have heard of the love languages and how we fill each other's love tank and how we have our love tanks filled. And there's five different ways if you don't know. The first one is quality time. The second one I've written is hugs. The second one is affection. And I wrote hugs there because often when we're talking about love languages, we're talking about intimate relationships, but I want to talk about all of us. We are a church of generous hugs. The third one is acts of service, also known, overflow known for our generosity. The next one is words. It might be praises, affirmations, prophecy, and really speaking positive words into each other's life. And the last one is gifts, the physical act of giving. And I've got a little example over here. A few weeks ago, Audrey, who is the chaplain at Irrawang High School, came and spoke to us. And she was saying that when the kids who really have some troubles in their life, most of the kids she deals with, they come to her or are referred to her, and she likes to feed them. And so her resources are limited. And I offered that we, being a very generous church, might be able to help out with gifts for her on that. So over this side, if you can see it, here's a generosity box. And in it are some of the examples of the things that she said that are the favourites of the kids or that the kids really need. And what I'm going to do is to put that box out in the foyer. And what I'm asking, if you have a generous heart, if you have God putting an idea on your heart about something you could put in that box, I'm thinking that as you do your shopping each week and you buy one extra thing and it won't really make much difference to your bill. And it might be something, she said it didn't have to be proper brand names, it can be a home brand, like muesli bars. She said they love these things they call cheese with biscuits. up and goes. Never bought them in my life before. Milo bars, they looked yummy. The Nutri-Grain bars, the LCMs, and then there's the mini packets. You said the tiny teddies, but I found mini monkeys. I thought that was cute. And they love, this one surprised me, the pretzels, the mini pretzels. So what I'll do, I haven't done yet, is I'll put a list on the top of the box of those things that are really important for the kids to have, that can break down those barriers so that Audrey, as a chaplain, an ambassador for God, can break into the lives of those students and speak Jesus to them. And we'll leave that in the hall out there. And if you can and want to, bring one thing each week and just shove it in that box. That would be great. And then we'll be able to present her with it. But there's so many other ways that we're generous with each other as well. We're generous in this church. We're generous with kindness. We're generous with helping each other out. Those people that are on that meal train that are just constantly cooking and giving out their love in food, I just want to acknowledge you today and thank you. Generous, we can be generous with our skills and our resources. It's no good me trying to, I don't know, help with the books or the accounts in the church is not my skill. But there's other things that we can find that are our skills and our resources to be generous with. It's really easy to be generous with the people that are close to you or that you know really well. But I just want to encourage today to be generous with different people, to be generous with people that you don't know very well, to be generous with people that are very different to you, to be generous with people that you have not spoken to very much this year, that you've never had a deep conversation with. Find something with those people and be generous to those. The next one, the praise and recognition, the appreciation and gratitude. I've had a lot of wonderful things been done for me in the church, and in my heart, I am extremely grateful. But one of my things that I have been working on is, although it is in my heart, I'm not so good at getting it out across my tongue. And if you've been one of those people that have done something wonderful and I haven't expressed that praise or that recognition or that appreciation and gratitude, I just want to ask for your forgiveness today. And I want to tell you that I'm working on that. God's working on that in my heart. Generous with blessings. It's so easy to bless people you love. But what about blessing your enemies? That is a challenge. And people in my Connect group, we were talking about this on Thursday, about bless those that persecute you and how to be generous to those people and kind, yes. And let's see how that's working out next week. The last one, we are so good at this one, that's why I put it last, hospitality. Hospitality is not just cooking, okay? It's not just that morning tea table, although that is absolutely fabulous and we are world-renowned for that, I think. But hospitality, the meaning of hospitality, being a hospitality teacher, is it is a friendly reception and entertainment. It is a relationship between the host and the guest. So that's what hospitality means. Okay, let's look at this bit. Be generous with God. How do we be generous with God? Generosity is actually a form of worship. Again, worship is not just singing songs, but your generosity is an act of worship to God. Praise is also, in the song this morning, I wrote it down when we were singing, every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Who do you say God is? Don't limit yourself. Who is God? And praise Him for what He is. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, says Psalm 150. Prayer, I missed. Brad spoke about it earlier. Prayer is the act of talking to God and listening to God and then acting on what God says. It is praying the small prayers in the morning, like, wow, thank you. A new season starts today. And it's not so hot, thank you, God. To the large, deep, meaningful, lengthy prayers of meditation and contemplation and journaling. So prayer from the smallest to the largest, being generous with God. The gospel, be generous with the gospel. Talk about it every day. Talk about it in every sense. Find ways to weave the gospel into your everyday conversations, not just with the people in the church. We're generous with the gospel to everyone. We are all, every single person that was born with breath was born in the image of God. It doesn't matter if they were of a different religion or of a different culture or if they were out marching last night in Sydney. All, everyone born in the image of God deserves that gospel. And the last one, be generous to God with wisdom and faith and love and grace, particularly grace. I find in this church we are very generous with grace. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, Keturah read for us before, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. My encouragement is be generous with God. The second part of the values is inclusion. Now, inclusion means belonging, feeling heard, feeling seen, feeling like you matter, that you're valued, that you're accepted, that you're pursued. Inclusion protects. It doesn't prevent, but it protects us from loneliness. When we're included, we experience compassion. We experience gratitude. We live a flourishing life, and we are enabled to be all that we are created to be. How do you feel when you are included? I just want you to turn to the person next to you and just a couple of words describe how you feel when you are included. Have a couple of those words around the room. Someone from this side? Loved, yeah. Yes. Valued, yes. Empowered, oh, good word. Okay. Also, that as I was looking around, there are some people that I felt weren't included because there's no one sitting next to them. Be generous with your smile. They just smiled at me and I felt included. Thank you. How do you include God and how do you include others? With those people next to you, just again, 1 minute, how do you include God and how do you personally include others? Last part here is in inclusion, in belonging and participating in this family we call Overflow. How does God include us? And so I've found this beautiful passage in the Bible. It's from Galatians and it says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, or included, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're saying, I am a child of God, heirs. Back to Overflow's values. Oops. Biblical generosity, this is kind of a summary of it all. Biblical generosity is an invitation to greater joy and to greater freedom. And a world healed by generosity starts with a single heart. It starts with God's heart and what God's heart puts upon your heart. If there was somebody who didn't know that generosity of God? What is the most freeing thing about God's generosity that you wish that everyone knew? For me, I think it is that generosity of forgiveness, that I stand here before you with a life behind me, with faults that I've acknowledged before you today, knowing that I am forgiven and I am deeply, deeply loved.